You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Today is going to be a short show. I really was tied up in a meeting that really just got out. I did a little show prep, but not very much, and I feel a little uncomfortable for that. But what I did is I read some of the news that is breaking and being highlighted on the Drudge Report, and kind of a couple of stories caught my eye. The number one story that probably has the most effect on Americans today, especially those who bought one of the Obama care plans on the federal exchanges, is the fact we do now have two conflicting U.S. Court of Appeals decisions out of the D.C. Circuit, which is regarded next to the Supreme Court as probably the most important. We had a decision today that says subsidies, according to the Affordable Care Act, or what most people call Obamacare, or the more complete name is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, is that people would qualify for subsidies if they bought their plans through the state exchanges. Well, the majority of people did not buy their plans through the state exchanges. They bought it through the federal exchanges. And the ruling is only if you bought it through a state exchange are you going to get the subsidy. Now, that I don't think that's going to stand. My own opinion is, even though the law was rather specific, you had to buy it through the state exchanges, if you look, interpret the law more broadly, and that's what the administration is arguing, that this will be reversed if the full court hears it, and it needs to be resolved, because why the D.C. District Court of Appeals, the Washington D.C. District Court of Appeals, ruled that way. There was another opinion out of the Richmond Circuit, the Court of Appeals, that ruled the opposite way, that even if you got your subsidies, you got a plan, you purchased a plan through the federal exchanges, you would get your subsidies if you were eligible for them. So you have obviously conflicting opinions, and usually it's up to the Supreme Court to hear that and resolve it. But before that happens, usually it's heard initially by a group of three judges, and then if it's appealed, it might be heard or reheard by the complete circuit of all the judges. And I think that's what's going to happen. So I wouldn't hold my breath. Now, obviously, if you're against Obamacare, you're applauding the D.C. Circuit's ruling, and I am, because I really don't think it's the business of the federal government to design and offer health insurance. They shouldn't be in the health insurance business, and that's what they are in a big way. For the simple reason, they got together with some of the largest insurance companies in the United States that offer health insurance and design plans that were very, very expensive. And the reason they're expensive, there are two major reasons. The big reason is they came up with 10 categories of benefits that all plans, no matter which one you buy, has to have. That immediately runs up the cost of any plan. It means an individual can't say, I don't want that. It's like buying a car, going into a car dealership and saying, the only cars we have here are fully loaded with all the bells and whistles. And that's exactly what's happening. Now, that makes the plan expensive in terms of premiums. But what even makes these plans more expensive, they're what's called in the industry guaranteed issue, which means even though you may have an existing, what's called a pre-existing condition, a serious pre-existing condition, the health insurance company must issue that plan. Now, what's the problem with that? That's like me having a car accident and then calling up and say I need automobile insurance, and then once I get it, immediately file a claim. Or your fire, or your another example is your house is on fire, and you call your property and casualty agents, and you say, "I need home insurance. My house is on fire." Well, that's not what insurance is about. Insurance is about pooling of risk. You buy insurance before an event, a catastrophic event, or a condition develops, not after. And that's why I strongly recommend any individual, as well as any business, to have health insurance or provide health insurance for their employees, or at least provide the funds so they can buy their own plans. So if this ruling should stand, which I don't think it will, that would cripple the assumption that you need a large pool of people to be Obamacare, as far as the individual mandate to be successful, you need a large pool of people buying it. Another way to say that, they need young people to buy this coverage, and they're not doing it. And about eight, what surprised me, and this number I haven't had time to check out, but it just stunned me that of the people that actually have purchased one of the Obamacare, the so-called metal plans, the bronze, the silver, gold, or platinum, 85% qualify for subsidies. That doesn't mean they get the full subsidy. That's a function of your income. But that's a lot of people qualifying for subsidies. Roughly 8 million, according to government statistics, have purchased the plan. And of those, about 85% qualify for a subsidy. Now, I'm getting into this because what's going to happen, and we're only a couple of months away, is the people that bought these Obamacare plans are going to start getting their renewal notices. Starting in September, October time frame, they'll be getting premium notices, and it's going to go up because they really didn't get the numbers that they were anticipating. And the general reaction, the people that both bought the plan or looked at the plan, is that it was quite significantly more expensive. By that I mean 50 to 100% more expensive to buy the plan compared to what they already had, because most of these people, not all of them, but most of these people already had individual coverage. Remember, the employer mandate has been delayed a year, especially for large companies. And we've had delay. We've had exceptions after exceptions after exceptions being announced by the Obama administration. And that, as far as I'm concerned, is rewriting law. Now, I understand there's a certain amount of give and take, and the Secretary of Health and Human Services issues a lot of the regulations and has that responsibility under the law. At the same time, you don't rewrite the law, especially when it's supposed to begin. And that's exactly what they've done. Why have they done it? Simply political reasons. In 2012, it was done because election was coming up, and 2014, it's being done again. Now, what has not been repealed is the individual mandate. I say if you're going to delay the plans, the implementation or the starting date, it should be for everybody, everybody. I'm not for Obamacare. It should be repealed. People are really unhappy, especially the individuals, and they're the ones that up to now have been the ones been affected the most. But you're going to have then you're going to have small groups, you know, under 50 that are going to have to buy the coverage, and they're finding out what's happening is the premiums are much higher. But the big difference is the fact that the deductibles are anywhere from 3 to 5 times higher than what an individual has had, and you'll find similar reactions when these small groups, and I mean under 50, and I used to sell a lot of small group health insurance, and when I was in the business, and it's many years ago, I've retired from financial planning several years ago, but when I was active, especially in most of my clients were business clients, I sold primarily to business owners, and most of them were small businesses, and what I mean by small, 10 or less. Now, I had some that would fall under 50. I really didn't go after the large corporate market because you're really competing, and many of those larger corporations have their own plans. And I don't want to get into that, but my point is this. What I found, and to summarize my experience, both individuals and business owners are very, very sensitive to the price of these plans. And a key attribute of any plan is affordability, because they're watching their cash flow. And as much as they want to provide this health insurance to their employees, because if you're an owner, you're an employee, and you want coverage for yourself, you want coverage for some of your key people that are making the business successful and their families. So one of the first employee benefit that businesses would offer is health insurance. After they had that, they usually would have a retirement plan. Those were number one and two. There are other things that business owners need in terms of various financial services products, you know, such as disability, because that's another area that you need to be concerned about, because if you should become totally disabled, how are you going to pay the bills? So those are, in my mind, the top three purchases of most businesses, but by far the first purchase that a business does once it has the cash flow and is successful enough is to buy health insurance. And affordability was key. They're always looking for the best company, and I represented some of the best in the industry, but they were not cheap. I wasn't going to sell garbage. Now, one of the criticisms of this administration, that many of the plans that they're replacing were junk. That's simply not true. There are plans that I would characterize as junk, but people can buy what they can afford. If they're buying junk, it's mainly because that's all they could afford. And the reason I'm leading up to this, if the premiums are much higher and the deductibles are much higher, what's going to happen? Individuals aren't going to buy it, and businesses are not going to offer it to their employees. And they're not required to by law. So many of these, what I see happening once Obamacare gets fully implemented, is many of these small businesses, as well as large businesses, will simply be terminating their plans and say, you go take care of it on your own. You're on your own. And the problem they're going to face is going to the exchanges, and they're going to have sticker shock in terms of the premiums, but more so in terms of the deductibles that are typically 3 to 5 times what they're used to. When I was in the marketplace, $100 deductibles, $250, $500 deductibles was the more typical deductible that businesses would have. Some would go as high as $1,000. And the way insurance works, you're responsible for the deductible, then you have what's called a copay region, where it's usually 80-20, sometimes 70-30, but usually 80-20, where the insurance company pays above the deductible 80% of your expenses up to a cap, and usually it was $5,000, sometimes it was 10, but usually $5,000. So to keep it simple, let's say you have a $500 deductible, you would pay the first $500, and then you would pay 20% of the next $5,000, so you are out of pocket on $6,000 medical bill, you are out of pocket, and you can do the math, $1,500. And that was a fairly typical situation. The employers that were doing very well would typically have lower deductibles, but what happens over time, as premiums go up, the deductibles go up. And I would always say, buy the highest deductible you can afford and your employees can afford. That's the smart advice. The problem is why the owner of the company, for example, could stand a $2,000, $5,000 deductibles. Most of his employees could not. They could not write the check. That's why the typical deductibles were $100, $250, $500, and in some cases $1,000. And keep in mind, after that, you still have to pay a copay. Now, that's the way it was, and here's the key thing. People would shop it. There's a lot of competition. Now, because the plans are very, very similar in regards to what they cover, what you got to keep in mind, they're different deductibles and premiums depending on which plan you buy, but most of them are covering the same thing. And you do have to shop it, but there's not much difference between the plans. Let me give you a quick example. I don't need maternity coverage. I don't need child care or pediatric coverage. The plans today have that. Well, that's great, but I don't need it. It gets back to my car comparison. Right now, my needs will change over time, hopefully significantly change. Right now, I don't drive very much. I probably average six miles a day, 180 miles a month, 200 top. Now, that's going to change, and hopefully soon. Sooner the better. But that's not much. I've leased a car and have hardly any mileage on it, and I was looking for an inexpensive car, knowing that that was going to be my situation for at least a year, maybe 2 years. And we're coming up on 2 years. After that, I will use the car significantly more. I will still be way under 12,000 miles a year. I was looking at my speedometer. I have had the car over a year and a half, and I have less than 3,600 miles on it. And remember, under my lease, at least, it's 12,000 miles a year, and I'll be hitting 2 years in November, which would mean normally 24,000 miles. I'll probably only use 5,000 if I reach that. Now, why am I saying that? I didn't want a car with all the bells and whistles. This is it's a compact car. I like it, but I'm used to a much a bigger car, mid-size four-door sedan. And that's what my next car will be, whether I lease it or buy it. It probably will not be what I would like to get. I can't get until certain things are settled. Now, why am I telling you this? Everyone's needs are different, whether it's purchasing a car or purchasing health insurance. And the key is affordability. And that's the one thing that I really think both this administration, the Democratic Party, and the advisors to this administration really overlooked. Really overlooked. Big time overlooked. What they did is they kept piling on categories of benefits. Oh, it should include this. It should include that. It should include this. And yeah, it's great. But every one of those items that you include makes the plans more expensive, significantly more expensive. And then when you add, it's guaranteed issued. In other words, someone that has a problem such as cancer, heart attacks, strokes, other serious illnesses, already has experience, has that condition, that's just another big claim. So I'm not surprised that the premiums are so high. I'm not surprised that the deductibles are so high. But where did Obamacare lose sight of both the individual and the small businesses that have to buy this plan? It's the affordability concern. And I would say that's number one. Now, many people think they were going to get their health and coverage for nothing. They were going to qualify for subsidies. You see, what was Obamacare really about? Cutting through all the bill was over 2,000 pages. The regulations have added many times that. But what was his intent? Now, we were told it was to get more people insured. That supposedly was the goal. But the real intent here was to force young people to buy health insurance. That's what's going on. And to entice them into this is to offer subsidies. Now, and they're offering subsidies. But what happens? If you get a job, and many young people are having difficulties finding a job, but if they find a job, they're going to lose those subsidies. Maybe all of them or some of them. And that's the name of the game. Because why? Most young people simply don't use, or not high users. Matter of fact, they're opposite. They're low users of medical care. And because of these high deductibles, even if they have the subsidy, they're not going to use it. To the extent they use it, it's going to be coming entirely out of their pocket, with some exceptions, like your annual physical, for example, or doctor's visits. But most things, if you have any kind of condition, you're going to have to come up with not only the premiums to keep it in force, but also the deductibles that are quite high, like $3,500. Now, if you're a husband and wife, that's $7,000. That's quite a bit of money. So that's what's going on. We had a major court decision today that somewhat puts up in the air to the extent that subsidies will be available. I think I wouldn't panic over this, but I think what is going to happen, it will first be heard by a full panel, and probably you'll have some resolution of the conflict. But if you don't have any resolution of the conflict, then it'll go to the Supreme Court. We're probably a year away from getting a firm decision. So I wanted to alert you. That's probably the story today that affects most people. Now, one other thing. I have a minute. If you're traveling to Israel because of what's going on in Gaza in terms of the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, trying to put Hamas out of business. Hamas has been shooting hundreds, thousands of rockets into Israel. Many of them hit, at least one has hit the Ben-Gurion airport. And because of that, many airliners, including U.S. airliners, at least temporarily, are suspending flights to Israel. So if Israel was in your travel plans, you might have to rebook. And several U.S. airline carriers besides Delta, I believe Delta United, the two that are suspending it. But anyone that is planning to travel to Israel, you have a war going on, you're going to have difficulty getting flights in. You're going to probably have to fly LL. I'm looking at the time. I'm out of time. So I think it's appropriate that I play my closing music. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own unless otherwise stated and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas Community College District. You're listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. Thank you for listening, and tomorrow we will have a full hour show, I promise. Thank you again. Good day.